Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Talk So Little Kids Will Listen by Joanna Faber and Julie King is a practical parenting and caregiving guide focused on children ages 2 to 7. It adapts the well-known communication approach from the earlier How to Talk series associated with Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch, reshaping the tools for the developmental realities of toddlers and young children. The book's purpose is not to promote permissiveness or rigid discipline, but to give adults concrete language and strategies for handling everyday flashpoints like tantrums, refusals, transitions, and sibling conflict while preserving warmth and respect. Across real-life examples and step-by-step techniques, it emphasizes acknowledging feelings, setting limits without escalating power struggles, and creating conditions that make cooperation more likely. The tone is problem-solving and supportive, aimed at parents, teachers, and other caregivers who want fewer battles and more connection, without expecting young children to behave like older kids. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, handling big feelings without escalating the moment. A central theme is that young children's difficult behavior often reflects overwhelming feelings and limited skills rather than intentional defiance. The book teaches adults to respond first to emotion, using simple acknowledgement and empathy, so a child feels understood before problem solving begins. This does not mean agreeing with the behavior. It means naming what the child might be experiencing and communicating that feelings are acceptable, even when certain actions are not. For children ages 2 to 7, this emotional-first approach can prevent a spiral in which lectures, threats, or logic-heavy explanations only intensify distress. The authors encourage adults to replace long speeches with brief, clear responses and to use connection as a stabilizer. When a child feels seen, they are more likely to regain self-control and engage with guidance. The book also treats the adult's regulation as part of the method staying calm, reducing verbal overload, and avoiding punitive language that can trigger shame. The overall goal is to build emotional safety while teaching children the vocabulary and experience of being guided through strong feelings. Secondly, fostering cooperation through respectful communication tools. Another major topic is how to get everyday cooperation without constant orders or micromanagement. The book presents a toolbox of communication strategies designed to reduce resistance in young children who are highly sensitive to control. Instead of escalating demands, adults are encouraged to make requests more doable and more respectful. This includes describing what you see or what needs doing, offering limited choices, using playful engagement when appropriate, and keeping directions short and specific. The methods are built around the idea that cooperation grows when children experience some autonomy and when the adult avoids turning routine tasks into contests of will. The book also highlights the importance of designing the environment and routine so that success is more likely, rather than relying on repeated reminders. In practice, the approach aims to shift the household dynamic from constant correction to guided participation by reducing nagging and replacing it with clearer, more collaborative language. Adults can increase compliance while preserving the relationship and helping children practice the skills that eventually become self-management. Thirdly, setting limits and boundaries while preserving connection. The book addresses a common challenge for caregivers: how to be kind without being a pushover. Its approach to limits emphasizes clarity and firmness paired with respect. Adults are guided to communicate boundaries in a way that does not shame the child and does not invite lengthy negotiations. Rather than relying on threats or punishment as a first resort, the authors encourage limit setting that acknowledges feelings while still holding the line on safety, aggression, and non-negotiable rules. This structure supports a child who may be upset about the boundary, but who learns that the adult is steady and predictable. The book also focuses on avoiding power struggles by choosing language that does not corner the child into proving independence through refusal. When conflict is unavoidable, the emphasis is on de-escalating the interaction and returning to connection once the moment passes. The overall message is that boundaries and empathy work best together. Empathy prevents the limit from feeling like rejection, and limits prevent empathy from turning into permissiveness. This combination helps children feel secure and helps adults stay consistent. Fourthly, supporting self-reliance and skills in ages 2 to 7. Beyond managing behavior in the moment, the book encourages adults to teach skills that reduce future conflict. It frames young children as capable of growing into self-reliant big kids when adults give age-appropriate responsibility and room to practice. This includes encouraging children to participate in routines, solve small problems, and make simple decisions within safe boundaries. The authors emphasize that self-reliance is not created by pressure or criticism, but by opportunities to try, make mistakes, and recover with support. Adults are encouraged to notice effort, provide structure, and avoid doing for the child what they can reasonably do themselves. The book also links skill building to communication. The way adults speak to children shapes their confidence and willingness to cooperate. When instructions are clear, when expectations match development, and when a child feels respected, the child is more likely to internalize routines and behave responsibly. This topic connects to the broader aim of reducing daily friction as children gain competence. Families spend less time in repeated battles over the same tasks and more time in constructive interaction. Lastly, reducing conflict by addressing basic needs and realistic expectations. A practical and often overlooked theme in the book is that communication tools work best when a child's basic needs are supported. The authors acknowledge that sleep, hunger, overstimulation, and the need for downtime strongly affect a young child's ability to cooperate and regulate emotions. When these needs are unmet, even excellent phrasing can fail. And adults may misread the child's behavior as intentional misbehavior, rather than a predictable response to stress or fatigue. The book encourages caregivers to zoom out and consider context. Is the child running on too little rest, transitioning too quickly, or being asked to do tasks beyond their current readiness? This perspective helps adults prevent problems rather than only reacting to them. It also promotes compassion for both child and adult, since repeated conflict is often a signal that expectations or conditions need adjustment. By combining respectful language with realistic planning, families can reduce the number of high-tension moments and make daily life more manageable. The result is not perfect behavior, but a steadier rhythm in which cooperation becomes more likely and everyone recovers faster when things go wrong. In conclusion, this book best serves parents, grandparents, early childhood educators, and other caregivers who spend time with children in the toddler to early elementary range and want practical scripts for the moments that tend to derail the day. Readers gain concrete ways to respond to meltdowns, refusals, and transitions without defaulting to yelling, bribing, or long explanations that young children cannot absorb. The biggest benefit is its emphasis on changing adult communication in order to change the interaction pattern, acknowledging feelings, offering limited autonomy, and setting limits in a calm, clear way. Even when a strategy does not work instantly, the approach encourages consistency and reflection rather than blame. Compared with many parenting books that focus heavily on theory or on punishment-based compliance, it stands out for translating a respectful framework into tools that fit real life with little kids, where emotions are intense and reasoning skills are still developing. It is also useful for readers who already value gentle or authoritative parenting, but want more specific language and tactics to avoid power struggles. While some may find parts repetitive, the repetition can function as practice, reinforcing habits that are easy to forget under stress. If you would like to support Joanna Faber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.